Good morning. Happy Independence Day. Yeah. Did you blow some stuff up? Or like, you know, light the fireworks in some cases, may case may be. I feel like the freedom was just a little thicker in the air last night in Yuba City, right? Yesterday we celebrated America's 244th birthday. And can I just say, I really like it when someone comes up to me and says, Happy Independence Day. It's like I feel a little freer, right? I was buying fireworks over here at the booth from Michelle and Rebecca, and before I knew what happened, like, out of my mouth slipped, Happy Fourth, and somewhere I felt an eagle cry somewhere, and I said, no, it's Independence Day. That's what I meant to say. And look, we don't exchange gifts and say, Happy December 25th. No, we don't do that. If you could boil the idea of America down to one word, what would that word be? Thank you. See, every year we light the fireworks and we throw the raw meat on open flame because freedom, right? Celebrating the day that Congress unanimously signed and adopted the Declaration of Independence. And maybe we ought to celebrate it as well because it was maybe the only time that Congress agreed on something. I don't know. What would it be like? Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you could take the founding fathers from their day into ours? Have you ever thought about that? I have. Would they discover that freedom was still prized in America? Sometimes I wonder, because it seems like when I hear the news cycle, what's going on, everyone's always talking about safety. Someone needs to say it. The core idea of America is not safety. America was not founded by insurance companies. America was not founded by bureaucrats, but by rugged men who trusted in God to help them in a quest for liberty against all odds. If you want total security, call up Sheriff Barnes for a reservation at the county jail. And there you will not have to worry about what to wear. You will be fed every day. You will get medical attention if you need it. And there will be a roof over your head. The only thing you will not have there is, that's right, because total safety is a prison. Safe, safe. That's all we hear now. Not about freedom, not about liberty, not about independence, not about risk and achievement. We put men on the moon. Was that safe? No, but we did it. And a flag symbolizing liberty stands in the lunar dust as a testament to what free men can do. And it annoys me a little bit when someone says, my number one job is to keep my kids safe. Look, no, I get it. I want my wife and I want my kids to be safe. But this is not my number one job. No, my number one job is to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, I'm a trainer. Started as a potty trainer and a sleep trainer. And there were training wheels. And there's been some weapons training. Kirsten, when the time comes for training bras, I'm tagging you in. That's right. Teamwork. America was created to be a place of freedom, a beacon of freedom, freedom to worship in the church of your choice, free to own and carry firearms, freedom to speak your mind and not go to prison for your thoughts, freedom to not have your home occupied by the military, freedom from unreasonable search and seizure. Listen, freedom is not safe. Freedom is dangerous and it is expensive. And if you're looking for safe, you pick the wrong country, Karen. I'm just saying. And let me say this while I'm on my little rant this morning. If you are looking for safe, Christianity is not for you. Can we like drop cliches like, the safest place to be is the center of God's will. Tell that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Talk to safety to John the Baptist, right? Tell that to Jesus. Or to the millions of Christians being persecuted around the world right now in countries ruled by Islamic or communist tyrants, right? I've been reading at bedtime to my kids some of my old childhood favorites. And we just finished up the Chronicles of Narnia. Has anyone here ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? Where's all my bookworms at? All right, there's a few of you in here. Great stories, Christian fairy tales. And in the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, these children come to the magical land of Narnia, where all the animals talk. And they're being told about Aslan. He is the lion who rules over everything. And if you know anything about C.S. Lewis, who wrote all these books, he was writing these Narnia stories as an allegory for our Christian walk here. And Aslan, the lion, represents Jesus. And these talking beavers are telling the children about Aslan. And one of them says, Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell ya. And see, following Jesus Christ is not safe. Not in the way the world values that, but he is good. And he is the king, I tell you. And I know that this room this morning is filled with patriots who love freedom. Can I get an amen in church this morning? It's one of the things I love about my church family. How much more does God value freedom when he created it? And everywhere he is, there is freedom. Can you stand with me for the word this morning? Come on, let's stand together. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, let's pray together. Father, you are the God who sets men free. You turn enemies into sons and daughters. You turn our sorrow into joy. You turn sinners into saints. You're the only one who can. And our America needs you. Our California needs you. Our neighbors and our families need you. But most of all, God, we need you. Send waves of repentance to us and wash away our sins like you did the armies of Pharaoh. Turn us again to you and lead us by your Holy Spirit to a place of freedom and liberty. And let everyone here, let everyone watching today experience the anointing, the presence of your Holy Spirit that makes us glad and heals our broken hearts and breaks every bondage and turns dark into light and confusion into clarity. Let your mighty work begin in us here today. Do all that you desire in Jesus' name. And everyone said, all right, go ahead and sit down. What is the first characteristic that comes into your mind when you think about God? When you fill in the sentence, God is, yeah. We don't really think much about how God values freedom. You know, people who don't know him or people who haven't pursued after him probably think the opposite of that because of, you know, all the rules. Thou shalt not, right? You should not do this or that or the other. But imagine with me for a moment that you are married without kids. Some of you just went to a happy place. This is just hypothetical. All right. You're married without kids and God shows up and he says, soon you're going to be pregnant. And you're going to be parents, but I'm going to give you a choice. Option one is that your kids are perfect. They will never disobey. They'll never screw up. They'll have perfect manners at the table. They're going to be rational, and they're going to make thoughtful decisions and perfect choices. They will never argue with you. They're not going to backtalk. They're not going to pout. They will never complain. They're never even going to talk bad about you behind your back to their friends. They will be perfect, sounds good, but they won't love you. They won't be capable of that, of giving or receiving that love. Now, the second option is that they're going to be flawed in every way, just like you. And they're going to do some things, and they're going to say some things that are going to disappoint you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to annoy each other, and sometimes they're going to annoy you. And they're going to have some bad attitudes. They're going to debate with you. They're going to complain about stuff. But see, in this option, they'll be capable to receive and give love. they'll have the ability to deeply love you. They might not, but there's a chance that in spite of all the drama, real love will develop. Which version of your kids will you choose? Now, I'd love to be super holy and say, well, I'm going with option two before God even stops talking. But you know there are days. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, dads. You know what I'm talking about, Dad. We know that our kids and our spouses and our parents and everybody around us has free will. They can choose to do right or wrong. They can choose to love us or not. We're already in the system, but God wasn't. When he was creating the universe and all the laws that govern it and imagining what it was going to be like, he had infinite options. But with all of his omnipotence, with all of his omniscience, with all of his omnis, God chose to not make us perfect robots. He chose to give us the freedom to fail, the freedom to fall, the freedom to choose, the freedom to love. And he designed it this way. He could have changed one thing and everything would be different. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Who put that in the garden? God did. From the beginning, God gave us an out, an escape route from a relationship with him. And he points it out. And he warns us, but he knows. See, he already knew. He created everything knowing what it was he was going to sacrifice for us. And he still did it. Why? Why would he risk so much? Why would he allow rebellion and pain and the train wreck that is human history? Because this was the best way for him to demonstrate who he is. God is love. But you don't get love without freedom. Love cannot exist when choice is taken out of the equation. You can have reverence, you can have respect, you can obey, but you can't love unless you're given a choice to not love. And in spite of decades of top 40 songs telling us otherwise, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And where there is no choice, there is no love. And God shows his nature where he gives us the option to love him or not. And when we sin, he already had the plan in place to secure our freedom from slavery. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. See, God is not safe. He did not even protect himself. He didn't save himself. He's not safe, but he is so good and so almighty that he can promise to work all things together for our good and actually do it. Has anybody seen him do that for you? And it reminds me of an action comedy. It's like a spy action movie that I saw called Night and Day, starring Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. Did anybody see that one? It's a story. It's a normal woman. She's going about a normal everyday life, and she has this run-in with an international spy played by Tom Cruise. And suddenly her very average life turns into this life and death thriller. There's car chases, there's shootouts, there's you know, action scenes on the train. It's all because she comes across this super spy. And we get to this one scene where they're both captured by the bad guys. And June, she's the character played by Cameron, and she wakes up, you know, from being knocked out, and she sees the spy played by Tom Cruise, and he's tied up. He is hanging from his feet, and he's swinging. The situation looks totally hopeless, and he sees June awake, and as he's swinging there, he says, "Don't worry, June, I've got this. I've got this," right? You remember that? On the day, Jesus was nailed to the cross. And he was bloody and he was beaten. He was the definition of captured and defeated. And his followers were utterly devastated. This was not the victory we were expecting. This is not the kingdom on earth we expected when we rolled into Jerusalem. And yet God is saying, "I've got this. I've got this. You need to trust me." Beyond the shock and the grief of witnessing their friend and their teacher and their Lord killed, they lost an entire future. Everything that they were planning, all of their expectations of what Jesus was going to do for their country, what Jesus was going to do for their family, what Jesus was going to do to their enemies was all wiped out in a single day. Does that sound familiar, quarantiners? And whether it's due to COVID or some other drama that's going on in life, at some point we all lose expectations of what our lives were going to look like. Am I right? For 3 days they were lost and they were questioning and they were afraid. What's going to happen now? What's next? They wanted Jesus to set them free from the problems that they could see, the prisons of sickness and blindness and lameness, the prisons of the religious corruption that was going on, the prison of the tyrannical rulers from Rome. And we're there today, aren't we? Jesus, save me from my money problems. Jesus, save me from my health problem. Jesus, save me from my mean boss. Jesus, save me from Gavin Newsom. Help us, Lord. Jesus, save me from awkward conversations. Or how about this really big category for a lot of our prayers? Jesus, save me from the bad consequences of my stupid decisions. We pray that a lot. Jesus, be our king here on earth and fix everything. It's human nature because we want God to keep us comfortable. We want a God to keep us safe when the thing he wants to do is make you free. Pastor Doug, do you remember you and I were visiting some sites from the American Revolution, right? And we had gone to Mount Vernon and we were visiting George Washington's home, and Peter Young, he was a guy you were doing some business with over in England. He flew over to come and see these sites of the Revolutionary War with us. And Peter made and sold these wargaming figurines. And so he came over and we were walking around these sites of the American Revolution. And we walk up to Mount Vernon, and as we enter George Washington's house, do you remember Peter? Like, he got teary, like tears were rolling down his cheeks of this Englishman. And at first I was thinking, oh, he's taken the defeat pretty hard. Like, he's still not over it. Like, he's still, wow. It wasn't that. No, he was so moved that we were walking into the home of a man who had sacrificed so much, who had risked so much against impossible odds at war with the world's greatest empire, and he won. And a man of such humility that when someone wanted him to become the king of America, he refused it. And when the presidency was bestowed on George Washington, he willingly walked away from it after 4 years, before there was such a thing as term limits. In London, King George III asked an American painter who was there, Benjamin West, what would George Washington do after 4 years of being the president? And the painter replied, they say he will return to his farm. If he does that, said the king, he will be the greatest man in the world. And Peter cried that day because he thought George Washington was the greatest man who ever lived. But see, Peter didn't know Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in our likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross. And therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him a name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, that every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Give him praise. And on that cross, Jesus willingly laid down his life as a demonstration of the love of God, because you can't have real love without freedom. And you can't have real freedom apart from God. Do you remember the miracle where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes and he fed a crowd of thousands and all their families, and after everyone had eaten their fill and the baskets were left over, watch this, it's in John chapter 6. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. And when Jesus saw they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Wow. When you read that, where are you in the story? Because part of me is with the disciples. Like, Jesus, come on. Just let them crown you king. Speak the word. Destroy Rome. Boom. Everything is awesome. Right? Like, that would be awesome. Why does he go off by himself? It says he slipped away. He literally escapes an entire mob of people who want to crown him. They want to give him authority. That's kind of strikes you as weird at first glance. But see, Jesus was already king. Jesus is king over everything and always in ways that we cannot understand or grasp the magnitude of. You cannot make Jesus something he already is. In fact, you can't make Jesus anything, because believe me, I've tried, right? And you have too. See, if Jesus let man give him a crown, then that means men could take it away. What is given to you by men can be taken away by men. And that's why our Declaration of Independence specifically states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. These things are endowed, it is furnished, it is bestowed, it is given. It is a gift from God, not from man. No man can give you freedom, because if they can give it, they can take it away. But if God gives you something, who could ever possibly steal it from you? And it's that kind of freedom that Paul and Silas have in Acts chapter 16. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. And when they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown in prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer puts them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. The center of God's will is the safest, right? Right? We can do sarcasm here, right? A mob against Christians boldly talking about Jesus and to convince them, to convince their government to beat them and throw them in prison and put them in stocks so there's zero chance for escape. I mean, obviously, you know, probably like the next verse is Paul and Silas are tweeting, injustice, unfair, right? They're getting the Christians rioting in the streets. We're Paul and Silas, and they're weeping and whining and blaming God. I thought I was supposed to be in the center of your will where I'm safe. Let's take a look. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. And they were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Wow. Not only are they not complaining, not only are they not rioting, they were praying. And they were singing, and the King James Version says they were singing praises to God. I mean, just in case you were thinking they were singing, nobody knows the trouble. No, they were not singing that. They were praising God. And guess what? All the other prisoners were listening. Family, there are people who are listening to your song while you are being treated unfairly. And look, I'm not trying to condemn anybody for feeling hurt. I'm not trying to tell you to put on a show and fake it. I'm telling you to know what is true, like Paul and Silas knew what was true. I am free no matter what you do to my body, no matter what happens to my house or my family or my stuff or my country. I'm free because God has given me freedom. Jesus bought it for me with his own blood. And we don't deserve it, and we could never earn it, but it's mine because I've received it. And I don't care that I'm not worthy. I never was, and I don't have to be. He is worthy. He is righteous, and he's put his righteousness on me, and it's mine. And men didn't give it to me, and men will never take it away from me. His victory is mine by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And who wants to shout this morning for real freedom? They knew that freedom. And guess what? They were not safe. They most likely were going to die the next morning. But they were free, see? To know Jesus is to experience ultimate freedom. If we live, we can tell more people about Jesus. If we die, we're with Jesus. Tell me how I'm in a losing situation anywhere that I go or anything that I experience. I've already won. We've already won. Even when it doesn't look like it, you and I have won. When we can sing during the bad times, when nothing looks like it's changing, we have already won. And we know how the next verse goes, but let's look at it anyway. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. How many prison doors opened? I was just Paul and Silas, right? I mean, they're the good little church boys singing to God, right? The rest of those heathens, they were just listening. No, all the doors immediately opened, and the chains of every prisoner, bing, 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 fell off. Every prisoner. And the odds are most of the population incarcerated in that place deserve to be there, right? They earned it. They broke the law. They were not worshiping Jesus. They were just listening. And they got free. Who is in earshot of your voice? There are people in this room, yeah, and there's people at home who are watching too. Do they hear you while you are praying and praising, even when it looks hopeless, even when it looks like nothing is changing, even when it looks bleak? Do your coworkers hear you praising God or just complaining all the time? I'm stuck here. I'm not going anywhere. The boss treats me unfairly. Or maybe you're the boss and all your employees here is, it's your fault. You're a screw up. You're a bunch of incompetents, right? If you're just complaining all the time, you are not free. You have allowed circumstances to make you believe that you are captive. But John chapter 8 says this. These are the words of Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Jesus has set you free. Your prison doors are open. The shackles are destroyed. Pop that verse back up there, Acts 26. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to the foundation. The prison was shaken all the way down to the foundation. And what does that mean? It means that this building is never going to hold anybody ever again because the foundation is cracked and shattered. The very thing that was built and designed to hold you, the thing that was designed to come and paralyze you, that thing that was designed to isolate you, that place is rubble. It is condemned. It is garbage and useless. And when he who knew no sin became sin so that we might have everlasting life, he destroyed not just the chains, but the prison itself. Satan is defeated and destroyed, and his plans failed before Jesus even got started. But sometimes we just want to go back to the slavery, don't we? And we go back to the slave masters because, well, that was known. I knew what to expect. I felt safe because I knew how to predict what was going to happen next. And we just keep doing that. Even the founders knew this. Look at this line in the Declaration of Independence. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In 2020 language, basically they're saying, rather than go through the uncomfortable, dangerous road to freedom, humans will sit in their slavery and say, well, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Satan will tell you, things are going to be a lot easier if you just come back. Just come back to the chains. Just come back to what's familiar. Just give in. You won't have to face all the struggle and the responsibility of freedom? Come on. Come on, you know that's right, because he's come to you and whispered the same thing. Some of you might miss the pre-COVID days, you know, because you, not because it was so much better, because you knew what to expect. You miss all the, you know, being tired and worn out, running all over, doing all the things that you do, not stopping to ask God, who is the source of our freedom. God, am I missing you? Am I trying to serve you, but I'm not trying to be with you, trying to hear from you and be yours? I'm not saying that to condemn anybody, but to shine a light on the stupid human trick that we play on ourselves when we submit to mistreatment because we're used to it, when we stay in slavery because we're too scared to travel to places that we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Into the unknown, right? Wouldn't that be a great, like, 2020 theme song? It's been like that, hasn't it? You don't have to know how. You don't have to know when. Not when you know who. His invitation was to take up your cross and follow. And Paul and Silas knew Jesus was not safe, but he was, and he is, and he always will be good. They could not know what was going to happen or how. They just knew who, and they were free. But freedom in and of itself wasn't enough. See, freedom makes you bold. Can I get a witness? When you've been a slave your whole life and finally you are free, I mean really free in a way that no one can take from you, you can't keep that a secret. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like fire in your bones, right? Freedom, it begins in your heart, but really quick it moves to your mouth, right? And you have to tell people, the prison doors are open. Look around you. Come with me if you want to live, right? Get on the chopper. You have to take others with you. It's a prison break, like Harriet Tubman did. Have you seen that new movie about her? Anybody? It's really good. It's awesome, and it highlights her faith in God. It does not shy away from the fact, even though she was a slave, she escapes and she travels over 100 miles by herself, and she gives all the credit to God. But after Harriet experiences freedom, she realizes she can't just live for her own freedom. She wants to share it with her family. She wants to go back and share it with those that she left behind. Okay, and we're going to show a clip. So brief disclaimer here for those of you who are watching online or listening. It's going to go silent for a while because, ironically, while we're talking about freedom today, we are not free to show you a clip that is free for you to watch in your free time online. We'll try to post the link, okay? Here, let's watch it here for just a second.
Our work has gotten a lot more dangerous. Slave owners are getting frustrated with the amount of runaways. Federal judges, marshals, and slave catchers are working together. Even Congress is threatening to pass laws to appease the South.
If he won't help me, I'll go myself.
Harry, wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. Harry, I can't have you risking your life or this network because you're lonely. Rescuing slaves requires skill and careful planning. It requires reading, Harriet. Can you read a sign or a map? Can you read it all?
I put my attention on trying to hear God's voice more clearly.
Do you know what would happen if you got caught? They would torture you until you pointed them right to this office. You got lucky, Harriet. And there's nothing more you can do.
Don't you tell me what I can't do. I made it this far on my own. God was watching, but my feet was my own. Running, bleeding, climbing, nearly drowned. Nothing to eat for days and days, man. I made it. So don't you tell me what I can't do.
Come on, let's hear it for Harriet Tubman right now. Because she is motivated. She's free, but she willingly goes back into danger to help other slaves reach freedom. And during 10 years, she made 19 trips and escorted over 300 slaves into freedom. And she did not fail in a single rescue. And they nicknamed her Moses. Moses, right? A Hebrew who grew up in the palace, but he escaped. And then he went back to lead every single Hebrew slave into freedom, right? But although the Israelites were set free to live and to worship, they were not free in their hearts. They were still slaves to their sin. They were still slaves to their comforts, their expectations, and their unbelief. But there was another prince who left his palace, and he willingly humbled himself to live with the ones he was born to save, and not just with us, but as one of us, fully human, fully God. And as Jesus stood up to read in the temple, he chose Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners. The Spirit of God sent Jesus to proclaim liberty to the captives. And that's interesting, isn't it? He didn't say to obtain liberty or to purchase the liberty, to proclaim the liberty. And what does that sound like? It sounds kind of like declare, right? Declaration of Independence. Congress signed the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th, 1776, and they said, we're free. Because of God, we are free. But we did not achieve independence from Britain until 1783. And even then, they tried to come back, didn't they, in the War of 1812. They wanted to move back in the basement, right? We'd already kicked them out of the house, told them to get a job, stop living off of us. They didn't think we meant it. England, we meant it, okay? We will remain free, am I right? As a country, we declared our freedom before we achieved that freedom. But Isaiah uses the word kara. It's a Hebrew word to proclaim. It means to announce officially. You have the authority to proclaim. You can't just say the words, I hereby repeal the California gas tax. You know, you can't just say that. It wouldn't happen. You don't have the authority. Do you? Because if you do. No. God had the authority to announce to the captives, you are free. It is done. You are already free. Because of that Hebrew word kara, it doesn't just mean to announce officially. It means to summon, to invite, to call, and to endow, all in the same word. In one word, God is not just announcing you're free. He is inviting you to freedom. He is calling you to freedom. He is enabling you to be free, all in one word. In his word. Speak your word to us, God. Would you stand with me this morning in his house? Everyone, eyes are closed. No one's moving around. We're just focusing on God because he is speaking to you. He is inviting you to freedom because the Spirit brings good news to the poor. The Spirit binds up the brokenhearted. Brings liberty to captives. The devil says you're trapped, you can't get out, you're never gonna be free from what others have put you through, from what you have put you through. Stop agreeing with the slave master because the one who paid the price to proclaim your freedom has already done it. Will you answer his call? It's not safe, but he is good. And he will go before you, and he will go behind you and all around you, and you will never be alone, and no one can ever take what he gives you. If that's you this morning, and you want to respond to his call of freedom and liberty and salvation, would you lift your hand this morning? I want to pray with you this morning. Everyone who's watching, Lord, let freedom, let your freedom flow into the hearts and lives of people. Maybe you have experienced freedom in your life, but you keep falling back into what's comfortable. You keep falling back into slavery. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Maybe you're exhausted because you've been trying to do good and be good without the Holy Spirit. You need to fire yourself from being in charge and put Him in charge. Stop checking the boxes of a religious life without the Holy Spirit. Receive in your life what Paul and Silas had, a filling of the Holy Spirit that'll allow you to worship and pray when everything looks crazy. Come on, ask the Holy Spirit, lift your hands this morning. Ask Him to make His home in you. We thank You, God, for all that You're doing in us.